pitcher Armando Galarraga joins us on Sports Byline in the Arizona Diamondbacks organization. Has been in the professional baseball ranks at the major league level for 5 years. He made his major league debut with the Texas Rangers and then spent a couple years with the Tigers and now currently with the Diamondbacks organization. And he has come out with a wonderful book called Nobody's Perfect, Two Men, One Call, and a Game for Baseball History. And it's co-authored by umpire Jim Joyce. You know, Armando, I have never heard of a book that is co-authored by a player and also an umpire. I guess kind of history brought you two guys together, and it was a natural thing to do, right?
Yeah, for sure. It was pretty good. I was excited.
Before we talk about this book, let me talk a little bit about your career, because it has not been an easy road for you to make it to the major leagues. How has it been for you? What have been the challenges along the way for you in making it to the majors?
Well, it's a lot of work, you know. It's no secret. It's not for me, for anybody who plays baseball. It's never easy. It's a lot of work. You're coming from a different country, the language, the food, your family, everything you have to push away and try to make it your goal, your dream, you know. You start like low A ball, and you have to move up and move up depending how you've been doing, you know, low A, high A, double A, triple A. So it's hard to get to the big leagues. You know, it's so many people wanting your job, and then it's a sport like it makes it different about football, soccer, well, not soccer, but football, basketball. Like, we compete when a lot of people, like Japanese, Dominican Republic, or Mexico, Puerto Rico, a lot of countries, they come in and play baseball, you know. So it's a lot of all over the world, you come and compete for one spot that you have to win. So it is hard. It is hard for everyone.
Let me take you back home to Venezuela, because a lot of people may not have a full appreciation for how important baseball is in that part of the world, with the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Venezuela. Tell everybody a little bit about how important baseball is and what it's like for a kid that wants to play baseball, say, in Venezuela.
Well, the thing about this sport, baseball in Venezuela, is the biggest sport, you know. It's the sport that everybody watches. It's for everybody. It's why a lot of Venezuela people come, a lot of baseball players, a lot of kids playing in the street. It's all over the place. You know, baseball is like the big thing. When we play in a Venezuela league, it's like the stadium, the crowd, like 35,000 people, 25,000 people, the stadium, the crowd. And you follow that when you're young and you see all these guys like Omar Vizquel, Andrés Galarraga. You see all these guys go and play over there, Bo Abreu, and grown up like a baseball player, and coming to a major league baseball playing goal success in the major league.
Well, another thing, too, that's a challenge for players that come from that part of the world is the fact that they probably don't know English, or if they do, they don't know it very well. Juan Marichal was with me recently, and he talked about how difficult it was for him, and I've talked to other players that come from the Caribbean about how hard it was to come to a totally different culture, not knowing the language very well. What was it like for you?
Well, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's something that, you know, everybody thought. Like, the language is really important, because you go to a restaurant and you don't know how to, you know, the menu, you don't know what they say, what do you have to say, and you use point and stuff, and whatever you got. Or whatever you learn the first word, like chicken. So you say chicken, because it's easy that you say chicken. So you eat a lot of chicken, but you get tired of eating a lot of chicken. So you start like learning a different word. And then stuff like that, it happens when every player coming from Venezuela, Dominican, and Puerto Rico. Or not so much Puerto Rico, but Venezuela and Dominican, we really don't talk English. So it's a difficult thing about the food. More specific, and the game talk about the self, like, you know, the routines, and the coach know that you don't speak a lot of English, so then they teach you. But when you get out of the stadium and you're in the world, you know, in the United States, you know, everybody go fast, go quick, and you even go to Subway or McDonald's and you're waiting in line. Some people wait in line, you have to order fast, and sometimes you don't know how to say, you know, what do you want. So it's the hard stuff for that.
Who took you underneath their wing when you came up into the United States to play pro ball?
Oh, well, my friends, you know, you guys, you start, like, talking with American guys, like, in your team and trying to, like, you go over there, you kind of, like, follow them. You, like, follow them and say, hey, I can go eat with you, you know, and you they see how you they, you see how they order food, and you saw, like, how, you know, how they pronounce chicken and steak, or when they go to McDonald's, or when they go to Subway, and stuff like that. You kind of saw these guys, how they're doing, so you kind of learn about that.
Tell me about your Major League debut in 2007 with the Rangers. What do you remember about it?
Well, I was so excited, man. I was so excited. I think this is like the exciting moment for every baseball player when you put on the uniform. When you put on the uniform, a big league uniform, is like you come in your dream come true. You know, sometimes when you like waiting all these years or pass for so much hard moments about the food, about the language or family or whatever, and you know, everything paid when you come in a big league uniform and say, I make the goal.
You had to deal with the Tommy John surgery, and for a young player to have, you know, the ups and downs, it's awfully hard. They always say the great ball players, no matter what the sport is, are the ones that are able to stay even-keeled, Armando. How hard was it for you to go through that experience, knowing maybe your career was in jeopardy?
Well, it's hard. It is hard because when you, like, so young, and they say, you know, you're trying to pitch for full year in the rookie ball, and my velocity was not the same, my breaking ball was not the same, and my arm, my elbow always hurt. Say something's going on. So I remember they're doing a couple MRI, and they, you know, they're trying to see what happened, and they don't find anything. And everybody kind of get frustrated because, you know, for me in that moment, like, velocity was like 86, 85, and I was, before I was throwing like 93, 94. So I was, something's going on in my elbow. So finally we got the Tommy Young, you know, the fly me to Alabama, Birmingham, and they say, Dr. Andrews, they do my Tommy John, and they say, well, you know, you have your ligament is broke, so we'll have to fix it. And it's hard for, like, a kid, the season is over, so you be by yourself. You, like, just doing like, you know, exercise and working, like, really hard, because the training helps you, but everybody's going, you're far away in your family. You have to stay in the United States. And all that kind of stuff, you have to put in the hard work for come back to prove that you can keep going and play baseball.
You move on to the Detroit Tigers, and let's talk about the subject of this book, Nobody's Perfect, Two Men, One Call in a Game for Baseball History. The night was June 2nd, 2010, and I've had pitchers tell me, Armando, that when they're warming up, they have a pretty good indication about, you know, what they can or cannot do. Do they have their good stuff? Do they not have their good stuff? Tell me about the warm-up for you and what you thought about what you could do that night on the mound.
Well, let me tell you, all that day, it was nice. I feel good that day before. I remember I go get a lunch with my wife. And, you know, it's like a regular day. You go get a lunch and go to the stadium and watch a video about Little B, watch the lineup for the Cleveland and you know, see all these guys, and you got a plan in your head. And after that, you get stretched and go and warm up in the bullpen. And the bullpen, I don't feel anything different. I just feel the same, like, you know, my game, I feel like good, you know. My arm feel like I throw a lot of strikes, throw balls in corner. You know, my fastball, when you warm up, you want to throw you a lot of your fastball, so get a good command about your fastball. So during the game, I can see my sinker was really good. I can see my sinker was really good. I can see everything start working, and well, you guys already know what happened.
Well, let me ask you, as the game was going along, tell me a little bit about what you thought. Did you think you had something special that night?
Well, definitely. I remember the seventh inning, a lot of people in the stands, and they start, like, clowning every stride. They start, like, you know, they start get excited for every out. So, I mean, they just, like, I don't get nervous in that moment. Just get more happy and more excited. So I remember the eighth inning, everybody and my friends and dugout, they leave me alone, and everybody kind of like stands and nerves. And I was like so relaxed, so recent. I was really relaxed. And I would throw a stride to a stride, and I pinned the corner. It was like play video game, and I mean, I was doing all that kind of stuff. I know it was a special day.
One of the things that I do know about baseball is there are great superstitions, and when you've got a pitcher like yourself on the mound, maybe throwing a no-hitter as well as a perfect game, everybody kind of, what do they do? Stay away from them? Do they not talk to them? How do they deal with you in the dugout during a game like that?
Yeah, normally they don't talk to you. Normally they leave you alone, you know, because the last couple of innings is exciting. Everybody games with the game. The fans, the manager, the pitching coach, the players work so hard to, like, trying to catch the ball. So everybody kind of, like, leave you alone and let you do what do you need to do for, like, get out the last two innings to make a history.
What about your pitching coach? Did he say anything to you during the course of the game, Armando?
No. He's like, actually, nobody say anything. He's like, you know, let me sit down right there and just chill.
One of the things that people may not have an understanding or an appreciation for is that, yes, you're throwing the ball, but it's the guy behind the plate that's almost as important. Is he not your catcher in helping manage the game to make something like a perfect game or a no-hitter possible?
Oh, definitely. You have a lot. The catcher has the same credit that you have, actually, because the catcher is like, take the game more fast and take the game like more serious in that moment. Try to make the right pitch. I remember Avila, he was like trying to make it the right pitch every pitch, because we make a history in that moment. The last two innings, he was like really hard to make every pitch the right pitch.
Let me ask you about Jim Joyce. What did you know about the umpire before that game?
I don't know anything about him before that game. Before that game, I don't know anything. After the game, I know a lot about him. You know, he's a great person, really nice guy. I mean, he's been so long time in the big league. He's a great guy.
A lot of people were surprised at how calm you stayed. And, you know, when we hear about sports, we hear about emotion, and especially where you're so focused on something like what you were doing. How did you stay so calm after the call was made?
Hey, I don't have a question. I was so excited. There was a lot of feelings go through my, you know, through my body. I was nervous. I was excited. I was, like, pumped up. I was, like, all that kind of feelings coming. Like, I was happy about the game because I was throwing my dream game, you know. So I was so focused, and I was so excited. And when he called safe, I don't believe he called safe. I still was smiling, and I was enjoying my game because in that moment I know it was out because you're doing it. When you touch the base and all that stuff, you see it. So I just go in a smile for that. And that was my reaction.
The sense of satisfaction that you have personally, knowing that you threw a perfect game, what does that mean to you, Armando?
Oh, it means a lot. I mean, like, you know, I still, like, anything can happen. Like, I need to do an adjustment. I do need more work, a little bit more hard for a lot of years.
What did Jim Joyce say to you when he finally either communicated with you or you saw him and had a chance to talk about his call?
No, he's a bull guy. He said, I'm sorry a couple of times. He's like, he don't feel bad. He saw the replays only one time, and he feel a lot of bad. He feel bad. He can't even talk when I go to his locker. And he say, you know, he's trying to talk to me, but all the time he talks to me, he's kind of crying and feel bad and say, hey, man, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm going to do everything I can for change that call.
What is it that you'll always remember about that game?
I remember I remember that I can throw any pitch I want in any count. And it was like when you play like a video game, you put in the, you know, you put in a pitch anywhere you want. And, I had that feeling. I can put in the pitch anywhere.
Well, congratulations on the book. It's a wonderful book. It's called Nobody's Perfect, Two Men, One Call, and a Game for Baseball History. And as I said to you, I've never had fans universally respect somebody for the way that they handled a difficult circumstance as you did. Congratulations, Armando.
Thanks, man. Thanks so much.
Armando Galarraga with us. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.